Blog Talk Radio.
Good evening and welcome to Blue Shirt Banner Radio. My name is Jim. Eddie is with me. Eddie, good evening.
How are you?
How are you?
I am dandy. Like a dandelion, maybe. I don't know if you can say that, but holy Manoli Stromboli, Chris Campoli. What a team. Got to be feeling good about the Rangers right now. I'm not telling you.
Changes hour to hour.
I mean, what a
ridiculous week. just crazy. But I gotta open up. I gotta tell you a really funny story. Now, my wife takes the Phoenix light rail. Okay, I drop her off in Tempe, and she takes that into downtown Phoenix where she works. Right. She's sitting on the train this morning, and as she's getting off, two gentlemen sitting behind her in their 30s say, and I quote, "Yeah, Jim and Eddie really know their hockey. It's just too bad they're Ranger fans because the show's pretty good."
Somebody knows about us?
They're talking about us on the Phoenix light rail.
Nah, you're hosting me. There's no way people are
swear to God,
us.
That was I got that text from my wife at 7:15 this morning as soon as she got to work. She couldn't wait to tell me. Two guys on the train. She says, "My husband is an internet sensation." I said, "Well, I don't know about sensation, but maybe burning sensation, but we are international."
Phoenix, you think of a Phoenix, but not really a hockey hotbed. Those guys must have been lunatics.
Hey, lunatics, heretics, tic tacs, whatever. Long as they're listening. So to those two guys on the Phoenix light rail this morning, even though we're Ranger fans, we appreciate you listening to us. Hey, Wazilly, why ask why? We just want listeners. We don't give a shit who's listening. We don't care if they're tuning in for Kathy Lee. As long as they're listening. Next week on the show, Kathy Lee Gifford.
Wow. I find it even more stunning that they think we know what we're talking about.
Well, yeah. Yeah. I mean, that was really the that was really the funny part. They really know their hockey, they said, but it's just too bad they're Ranger fans. Unless there's a Jim and Eddie that do a Texas Rangers show. But I still don't see where the hockey would come into that conversation. The new Brink and Peltzer. More like Shields and Yarnell. Frosty.
Wow.
Good evening, Frosty, and the happiest of 35th birthdays to you, my friend. Hope you're having a good one, and we appreciate you spending it with us. Isn't it amazing how many people spend their birthday with us? You did it.
Well, as you get older, the birthdays get
Do they?
You really don't want to. Yeah, well, you don't want to celebrate them when you get too old. So you just basically want to hide from it till the next day.
But isn't that all the more reason to celebrate them when you don't know how many you're going to have left?
Nah, you don't even want to start counting. You want to stop counting. I felt that after my 45th birthday, I don't want to be reminded of how old I am. I think I'm closer to death than a more celebrating life right now.
The stank of death hangs over you like a thundercloud.
I'm only kidding. No, I appreciate everybody hanging with us. And listen, we got a good friendship with Frosty going. I mean, over this infernal internet. You know, he's been here from the beginning practically. We share
one
a big common bond with a lot of TV and a lot of hockey and sports stuff. And, you know, he's...
Between him and Mandar, I don't think we make a pop culture reference on this show that gets by them.
Yes, I don't think so.
What are you watching? Porn?
No, I had to sneeze and I used the chicken switch, as we call
Achoo!
It.
Achoo! Achoo! How are you? Happy birthday, Frosty! Happy birthday!
Well, Gesundheit, my friend, and let's get down to beeswax, as you say. What a week. I mean, last week, you know, they were coming off a couple of losses, and it's the same shit. Same people. This team sucks. Fire Tortorella. I'm done. Oh, my God. Tank for a pick. What are we going to do? This guy stinks. What are we doing? And all of a sudden, they win two games in a row, and everything's all right again. It is hour to hour with these fans and this team. It's just ridiculous.
Well, you know, we're not used to winning. I mean, you know, although last year, same. I mean, I don't know if it's correct, but basically, didn't we have the same record after 11 games last year? But I think those 11 games were a lot different than these 11 games. You know, we had a full complement of our roster last year and won 11. This year, the Rangers seem to be doing some things very out of character. They're facing adversity, and whether it be in a grand scheme of things, such as the Drury and the Gaborik injuries and Prosper injuries, or in-game adversity, like getting a goal, game-time goal like last night, that could have buried that team emotionally, and then coming back, you know, less than a minute later, and Dubinsky getting the goal to go ahead again. So they have been facing adversity and coming out, for the most part, on the winning side of things. So to me, you know, that is an indicator to me that the team is improved on some level. I don't know if it's going to translate into wins every night. We know they're not going to win every night. But seems to be a little bit different than usual around here. And,
well,
don't want to get too high, but I don't want to, you know, I want to give credit where credit is due.
By my count, last year at the 11-game mark, they were 7-3-1. So they are 6-4-1 now. So they're one game off the pace from last year. But I think we all kind of knew they were kind of doing it with smoke and mirrors quite a bit. I think there was just a sense that, I mean, you know, they got off to the 7-1 start. Everybody knew the bottom was going to fall out from that. We just didn't know how far it was going to fall because things got pretty bad in the month of, in the merry, merry month of November last year. I mean, I think they only won 4 games in November last year. But this team's got something different. This team's got, like I said to you last night, I think they're taking on the personality of their coach, finally. For better or worse, they're taking on that personality. It's a fiery team. You know, you like that. You like a chutzpah, moxie, gumption, whatever you want to call it. I like it. It's been a long time since we see the team with this kind of fight in them. I like it.
Well,
nice. Refreshing.
They're doing a lot of the yeoman work that it takes to win. But they have some problems, and I'm going to lay it down. You know, we always keep it real in the field here. I think, and I told you this last night, if they're blocking 30 shots a night and they're giving up 30 shots a night, there's something really wrong around here. I mean, are they really playing defense? I mean, if the team is getting 60 shots or attempted shots a night, I think they spend way too much time in their own zone, 5-on-5. They seem to have men, like, covered, but they're not going out to meet them and battle them for the puck. And 5-on-5, you just can't spend that much time in your own zone. Now, it's great when you got Henrik Lundqvist, or maybe Henrik Lundqvist, we'll get to that in a second, back there to make the key saves. But what happens when Biron starts? And, you know, Biron didn't look too hot in his last game. Did he shoot? No Henrik Lundqvist. We don't want the other team to be dominating that zone for so long. And it's kind of, it's hard to put your finger on it because the other two lines, the Fedotenko, Avery and Stepan line, and the Dubinsky, Callahan and Nisimov line, they seem to be forechecking and have the puck. I don't know what's going on with the other two lines. But that the puck is always in the range zone. So I think that's got to be nipped in the bud. I mean, for sure. And I saw this on Blue Shirt Banner. I just saw the headline, but Henrik was dizzy at practice today or something? Did the asbestos fall on his head or something? What happened?
He got hit with a shot from Boyle. And from what I understand, it hit him in the neck, just under where right in a bad spot, where he wasn't protected. And I guess he was dizzy, and from what I read off the Twitter, Boyle was really upset about it, and I guess the players were all giving him a hard time. And it went between the mask and the neck guard. He was okay, just a little dizzy. But I had a man on the scene for New Jersey Transit that works at Penn Station that saw him boarding an Amtrak train to Philly, and he was just fine. So our man Sean was right there on the scene.
Train connections.
You like that?
Your train connections. Your wife's on the train, and
yeah,
it's just be a common denominator.
Yeah.
Wazili's calling Lundqvist Dunquist.
Dunquist.
Wow.
Already?
I gotta say, what an eternal optimist Waz is. Waz.
Already?
Dunquist.
It sounds like he's all right. Sounds like he's all right. The players were giving Boyle crap about it, there were tweets from someone affiliated with MSG.com. I won't say his name, but it rhymes with Tim Gurney. Said they heard Hank crying in the dressing room, and PR jumped in and said, no, that was Brian Boyle. Oh, those silly PR guys that work for them. What a sense of humor those guys got. We love them. Those crazy, wacky PR guys.
Oh, yeah.
Oh, they just sit up there all day
writing jokes. The all follically and comedy challenged over there, let me tell you something.
Those wacky PR guys.
And people are bringing it up in the chat room, and I wanted to voice this concern too, which I think they rightly brought it up. It's somebody blocking all these shots, you're putting yourself up for injuries. I mean, you cannot play this way and, you know, people break hands, of fingers, ankles, all kinds of crapola. I almost said a foul word there, but there will be, they can't really go at this pace, I think. They're playing like every game's a playoff game, but eventually you're going to get gassed from all this stuff. But
yeah,
that
burns you out after a while.
It's good to see that the guys are all, I feel like they're a team. I feel like this guy knows that guy knows this guy. Not everybody's like, there's factions in the locker room. And I feel like it's becoming a team, and that's good to see. And it's good to see that they care about the games as much as us fans have, because frankly, the last couple of years, or basically since Sather's been there, except for maybe a Yager couple of years there, it just seems like they don't play with the passion that we follow them in.
Right. Did you get to listen to Ryan Callahan on NHL Live today? Hello? Can you guys hear me? I can't hear Eddie.
Yeah, I'm sorry. It's me.
There you are.
The chicken switch.
Don't do that, because I start to get ready to go on a rant blog talk. Just sneeze on the air. Who gives a crap? I'd rather have you sneeze than have the panic of dead air.
Radio man, I go way back to the Little Abner days.
The Shadow?
Radio. So I think, like I said, it's good that the team is playing and they look like they care out there. The only problem is it's just you can't go at this pace. But they're winning the games, and they won a big game at home against Chicago, which I was happy. Oh, and you asked about did I see Callahan? No, I shut it off after Milbury was on, mainly because he usually induces vomiting after I hear what he has to say. What did Callie say on the show? Was it anything revealing?
Revealing? No, I mean I only saw what was posted and tweeted just that he said what we've been saying, that they're starting to establish an identity, they're coming together as a team, things like that, and that's great. It's great to see. I love the way they're working hard, I think, every night. So a couple of people have argued with me that the effort's not as there as I think it is, but whatever. But my only concern is what happens when you get. When Drury and Prosper and Gabrick come back, because right now I think they've got two lines that are working really well for them. Because I like that, I think that Avery Boyle and Fedotenko line is really good. Seems to me that when those guys get on the ice and when the puck is in the Rangers zone and those guys get on the ice, they're able to tilt the ice the other way and get the play down the other end. Other than Boyle, they're not scoring, but they're turning it around and getting things out of their zone. So in my mind, they have two lines that are working right now. So that leaves what happens when those three guys come back they're all going to be back around the same time. Probably within a couple of weeks of each other. So I'm just curious.
That's when we become floaters and divas again, and screw the hardworking stuff. Frolov will be. He's gliding and doing nothing, even more than he's doing now, which really doesn't seem possible. But he will be.
I am already sensing that he is on the cusp of becoming he's in the on deck circle. Let me tell you. The fans are it's close. Every game, I see just a few more comments here and there. Where's Frolov? MIA, Alexander Frolov. What's up with Frolov? He stinks. Is he even on his team anymore? I can see it coming. It builds slowly, and then all of a sudden it's release the hounds, and every time Frolov touches the puck at the Garden, they'll be booing, and I can see it coming. He's got to get, I don't know. Maybe if you're right, if he misses having a playmaker.
He sticks out like a sore thumb now, mainly because he stinks. He hasn't really done much so far. The other thing is that he's not that type of player. He needs to be set up. He needs to finesse players, which the Rangers lack even when everybody's back. Let's face it. So he's struggling. And when you see everybody going into corners and working their tuchuses off, more Yiddish, Let's call me your Yiddish mama for tonight.
The Ranger Rabbi.
My Ranger Rabbi tonight. He sticks out even more because he's not a guy who's going to go out and dig for the pucks, and he's not fast. He doesn't use any speed. He's kind of like one of these stationary guys that like is there to finish. And he actually had a good chance in Chicago and shot it right into Turco's pads, which it would have been nice to see him get a goal there. But he may escape the executioner once Gaborik comes back, especially since Steve Eminger has escaped for now, as he's been playing fairly well.
Yeah. One last thought for me on Frolov. Frolov will stay under the radar as long as they're playing fairly well, which they are right now. You know, even in the losses, they're hanging in the games. They drop a couple of these 3-1 stinkers where they can't get, with 15 shots on goal, then, everything, winning kind of smooths all that over. But if they start losing and they're only getting a goal a night, and then the focus will be on who's not doing their – the real focus will be on who's not doing their job. And then, it'll be now batting number 31, Alexander Frolov.
Yeah. You can't have everybody playing well. And, again, I just think – now, listen, the guy could be a bust. He could be done. Who knows? But at this point, I'm sure – and Tortorella's even come out earlier, I guess 3-4 games back, and said that Frolov needs to shore up some other aspects of his game as well. We as Ranger fans always look for something to complain about. And I really think at this juncture, we really should be happy with what's going on and just enjoy it. Because, I really think we get so down with the lows and bitch and moan. I bitch and moan after these years, not as much as some other people. It's funny, you hear from guys like Ricky all the time when Lundqvist is playing bad and giving up goals, but when Lundqvist gets shut out and then plays great against the Chicago, although I think that second goal should have never happened. But still, those guys don't really, when they have nothing to bitch and moan, you don't hear from them. You don't hear from, oh, Henrik played a good game or that. So everybody's got some kind of agenda. And Ricky, I basically said that because you made fun of my man, Grotchev, in the chat.
Right now, Ricky's on his phone. 6-4, 6-4. He's punching the phone. And a number of you guys want to call in, 646-478-4692. We'll get the phone calls in just a couple of minutes. Rangers, tough game tomorrow night. Little tough stretch here. Next, they got 4 games in six nights. Flyers tomorrow night. The Nikolai Zverev-led Philadelphia Flyers. He's got 2 goals in 11 games. I heard the other night he was dropped to the fourth line. I don't know if that's true or not. I guess we'll find out tomorrow night if he. But and then the free falling, plummeting New Jersey Devils on Friday night at the Rock, and then they come home. Hopefully, I guess the Garden's okay after the ceiling caved in. Chicken Little, the ceiling caved in yesterday. So Sunday night they'll take on the Blues at home, and then Washington comes to town on Tuesday. So a couple, tough stretch here, six days, 4 games. Probably see Biron. I would maybe, I don't know. When do they fit him in? I mean, I don't know. I don't see them going with Hank all 4 of these games. Do you?
No, I don't think so either.
But when do you give him off? Do you let him play against Philly tomorrow night when Hank dominates, usually plays pretty well against Philly, doesn't he?
Philly and New Jersey.
Yeah, you give them the start at home against St. Louis on Sunday night. Fans don't usually take too kindly when Henrik's not in goal at the Garden.
St. Louis is playing well.
And you're not going to throw Biron to the Wolves against Washington. I mean, it's going to be Rangers are going to have to block 60 shots that night, and Henrik still might have 40 saves.
I'd probably play him against the Caps. Oh, maybe the Blues. Although the Blues have been playing really well, like I said, and you know they really have been a story, especially. Yeah, I sneezed on the air, so I didn't want to scare Jim.
Gesundheit.
Thank you. Goes in tight. Yes, that was.
I dated her in high school.
Ah, lucky.
See, and, you're working blue.
Working blue. So she. Jesus Christ! I got my mind wandering here.
You
all
watch on, porn.
We all, but no, I don't watch it. I just download it. but the thing is, I'm off track here. Now, just let me get back on track with St. Louis. And I really think that Biron's got something. You got to start. Henrik gets established in the Flyers. Flyer game is going to be a tough game, and I'm wondering, are we hearing anything about perhaps the boogeyman returning to the lineup?
Boogeyman.
Did he play? Man, a lot of people are down on him. I'm not down on him.
This guy, poor guy, gets an infection in his finger, and it's what a bust, and bust guard, and he sucks, and where do we go? What a waste, and give Rodney a chance.
Yeah, really. I mean, that's that's something, again, Ranger fans are just looking for an excuse to just pounce on anything.
And I can't see how Bukar doesn't play tomorrow night. Otherwise, what'd you sign him for?
Right. Exactly. And another thing is that, you know, he's a fourth-line guy who plays 5 minutes. What are you going to bust on him? I mean, you know, and I really think that and it's a perfect example where Grotius should sit and Bugard should play. And again, I think some of the more insane fans are, you know, that don't like Grotius, which is about one right now, rather see Bugard in there than him. And keeping Bugard out of the lineup may offend their sensibilities. But that notwithstanding, Bugard, you know, listen, he's got to fight and, how about he goes after, Carcillo tomorrow and sends a message? I want to start sending some message. So that's
I'm
what
down
I'm,
with
I'm,
that.
Yeah. And right now, not a lot to, let's not complain. I said, let's enjoy this. Well, come on. You got Callahan and Dubinsky who are just going, I mean, it's just north-south hockey. Right to the net. It's rod hockey, like I call it. It's just like, we're playing tabletop hockey. Straightforward, jamming that, and they got Anisimov playing well. And I think Artem is getting people start to recognize him now, which is great. It's funny because me and Vinny Vasilino, who last year we were on a ferry trip over to Foxwoods, one of those casinos, and we had met a couple Ranger fans there, and I was talking about, I really think Anisimov is going to, flourish, and they were like, no, he's soft, he's this. I'm sure you guys run into this too. You'll talk to a Ranger fan, and then they're just not really, they just stereotype a player. If he's Russian, that means he doesn't hit, Now, let's face it, for the most part, those are rare guys. But, you could see that this guy had success at every level he's ever played in. He was only playing on the fourth line last year. And I really give credit to that whole line for really just going in there and working. And the defensemen, too. There's a lot of guys that, and I got to say this. I'm critical of them, too. And, I'm not afraid to do a mea culpa or make mea culpa, whatever they say, on a couple guys. Brandon Prust. I mean, all the offseason, all I said is, why does he have a secured roster spot? How come we never hear anybody's battling him? Why does he get? Well, I got to tell you, the guy is one of them. He's becoming a favorite. A couple guys I know are thinking about getting Prust jerseys.
because he's become such a hard-working guy. He's the face of the team, really, now, because they're all beat up. He's got, you know, his eye is all messed up. His nose is getting, you know, he's getting just a lot of wear and tear on him. He's fighting. He's forechecking. I mean, you're right, that second line is just going out, and they're going balls out with no chance of scoring. I mean, that's the only thing with that line is, you know, Boyle's got four goals. What's Prust, I think, got? I don't think he has any. And Avery has, what, one, maybe?
I think he has one, yeah.
Yeah. It's almost like they have no chance of scoring, but they're forechecking. And I tell you, and the Rangers put a very physical game against the Blackhawks, which I was really good. I was really happy to see, because you wear down a team. Somebody laid out Duncan Keith. Was that Boyle? Who laid out Duncan Keith? Duncan Keith.
That was Callahan, wasn't it?
I'm not sure. I don't think.
Or was it Stahl?
Stahl wouldn't have been in that deep.
I thought it was Callahan.
Get to the puck behind the net, and of course Sam Rosen did not make any mention to it, but he flattened him, and I was like, "Holy Manoli!" And might have been—I don't know. Guys are talking about the Cherub now, but I'll have to review the game and get back to you. But I was just like, they're hitting and they're wearing down those defensemen, and you know, and that's good to see. So you know, I don't really want to worry too much about when the other guys come back. It'll all work out, hopefully. But it's good to know that in a time of injury and when they're depleted, that they can put a competitive team out there. Because if you think about it, last year, Jim, when Gaborik was out, it was over. You saw it. We were there together. We watched that Islander game.
Yep.
Remember, Turk? And it was like, oh, God, they're totally listless. They're sleepwalking again. I mean, you know, they still have those periods of time in the game where it looks like, you know, the old Chinese fire drill. But, and no offense to our Asian contingent. That was the first thing. It looks like they're a bunch of, I don't know, what can I say? Bumbling Italians.
Well, I just want, we're going to take a couple calls in just a second. I just wanted to, you were talking about the MSG broadcast, which I didn't get to see. Chicago. Well, I had to watch it on the NHL Network, which was the Chicago feed. Mm-hmm. And after watching those two guys, I'm not going to complain about Sam and Joe for at least a couple of weeks. Oh, talk about homers, especially the play-by-play guy. I can't even think of his name.
Holy.
Towards the end, and when the Rangers were up 3-2, Capecchi's on the ice, and the guy says, he like yells it out, "There's the guy that's gonna get our tying goal," and so and then he's just like, "Yeah, maybe Pat." Yeah, that's his name.
Pat Foley.
Fucking terrible.
He's a super homer, but he's been a super. He's a great announcer, and I don't mind being a super homer, because first of all, he was with the Blackhawks with the lean years, the Super Norris Division lean years. He's the one who called Karpatsev basically a worthless player, and that I'm glad he's gone. The Blackhawks could do so much better without the services of Alexander Karpatsev.
Now, the game Saturday night for the Leafs, or was that Friday night or Saturday night? Losing track of my days again.
Leafs was Saturday night, hockey night.
Saturday night. Right. Got the hockey night in Canada feed on NHL Center Ice. Loved it. I wish I could watch every Ranger game on hockey night in Canada.
Yeah.
Jim Houston was it Healy was with him?
Might have been. Glenn Healy, yeah.
Well, because he made the comment that the last Ranger goaltender, he said the last Ranger goaltender to shut out the Leafs was me.
Oh, wow.
Which is pretty funny. So yeah, the hockey. I love the Hockey Night in Canada broadcast. The Chicago one, not so much. Not so much. I just couldn't take it after three periods. And the hell with the Hawks. The hell with the Hawks. F them.
Well, you wanted to go off on that. Why don't you vent?
My caner. Okay. For those of you that don't know, because I know a lot of you have been, were following this on Facebook, okay? We have a certain, well, I would assume that now she is a former listener because she's cut a...
Anything that happens on Facebook or on this stupid radio show, I don't take anything personally.
I don't take it personally.
Okay. I just say, I would absolve whatever Jim is saying, I'm not a part of. Let me just say.
There it is.
You know what it is? It's that, in the grand scheme of things, what does this really matter?
You didn't let me finish. You didn't let me get to the crux. All right, so the other night, Facebook, right? You all know Jackie Lomba. She's here, and she loves the Hawks. She loves her caner, right? And people are getting on her, me one of them. You know, look, you're a Ranger fan or you're a Hawks fan. And then I hear she goes to the Ranger game the other night as a season ticket holder. She shows up at the game in a Blackhawks jersey, and people are getting on her about it.
I didn't know that.
People are getting on her about it. You know what she does? She writes them all off. She cut off Zach. She cut off Newman. She cut off me. You know what? I don't care. If it costs me a listener, it costs me a listener. I'm sorry. If you're a Ranger fan and you're a season ticket holder, you don't go to a Ranger home game in the other team's jersey. I don't care. If you are a Ranger fan, that's it. You're a Ranger fan. You know what? I'm a Ranger fan for my whole life. There are other players on other teams that I like. Would I ever show up at Madison Square Garden in one of their jerseys when the Rangers are playing them? No. And Frosty, I know she's a friend of yours and you guys get along, but you know what? Sorry. Tough love coming here. You don't do that. I don't care if you're a Yankee fan and you, for whatever reason you like Kevin Youkilis. This was an analogy I used the other night. For whatever reason, you like Kevin Youkilis. You like the way he plays the game. Would you go to a Yankees-Red Sox game at Yankee Stadium wearing a Kevin Youkilis jersey? No. No. You don't. And I got nothing particularly against the Blackhawks. I like all the original six teams. I'll root for any of them if the Rangers aren't around. But you don't go to a home game. If you are a Ranger fan, you don't go to a home game at Madison Square Garden in a Chicago Blackhawks jersey. And I'm sorry, Jackie, but if you want the Facebook spotlight, and you do because you like to be a Facebook celebrity, and you type in your caps all day long, and here's my picture here, and here's my picture there, and look who I met, look whose autograph I got. You want to be a Facebook celebrity, you want that Facebook spotlight, then you have to take the heat from it. You do not go to Madison Square Garden in an opposing team's jersey. You don't do it. If you are a Ranger fan, that means you're a Ranger fan. That doesn't mean that when it's convenient for you, you put on somebody else's jersey and you go to the game. And you know what? Another thing, enough with the candy ass Girardi, okay? It's enough. It's old at this point, okay? She's texting, she's Facebooking with 10 seconds left in the game. Candy ass. I said, well, you know what? Candy ass is winning and Cash Cab Kane can go to hell back to Chicago, okay? You don't do it. I don't care. If she never listens to another show, well, so be it. She's not a Ranger fan anyway, as far as I'm concerned. She doesn't come to our listening party. I see she's now backed out of that. She's not going, well, so be it. She's going to miss one hell of a time. And I'll say it to her face at the listening party if she's there. You don't go to a Ranger game or any game. If you are a fan of that team, you don't go to their home game wearing the other team's jersey. You don't do it. Would a Giant fan go to a game wearing a Mark Sanchez jersey if you liked Mark Sanchez in a Giants Jet game? No. Would a Jet fan do the opposite if you liked Eli Manning? No.
That might happen. Oh, in a Jet Giant game? No.
At a Jet Giant game? Give me any rivalry in sports. Any one of them. I don't care which one it is.
Roy Aikman at a Giant game jersey?
If you're a Giant fan?
Yeah.
I'm sorry. No. It's inexcusible. It's inexcusable.
I've got Giants colors, but it says Aikman on the back.
No, that's a jersey foul, as Puck Daddy would say. So you know what? You just don't do it. And I'm sorry if that. And you know, a lot of people were getting on her about it. And she feels ganged up on. Whatever. Like I said, she likes that Facebook spotlight. Then you got to take the heat that comes with that spotlight. You want to put yourself out there? Then this is what happens. You are a fan of a team, and you talk about how much you spend on your season tickets, and how many autographs you got, and how many jerseys you got. Then wear one of them when they're playing. Don't put on a Chicago Blackhawks jersey because you like Patrick Kane. Tough shit. I like Jessica Alba. I ain't going to walk around in one of her thongs. Sorry, Frosty. I know you wanted pictures, but it's not going to happen. It's just not, you just don't do it. It's inexcusable. It's inexcusable. I don't care how much she spends on her season tickets, because she'll tell you at a drop of a hat, because she's, that makes her so much better of a fan. She's not a fan, as far as I'm concerned. She's not a Ranger fan. So if she doesn't want to listen to this show anymore, I don't care. I don't need her. I don't need her. I don't need to see her capital letters, her big giant purple letters that take up three quarters of the chat room. I don't care. Okay? She don't like me. She don't like what I have to say. Tough shit. She has her opinion. I have mine. End of story. Let's go, Rangers, guy. And I was so happy that they beat the Blackhawks. I was so happy. I was ready to go on the air and get on the show right then. I was ready to go. I was so happy because she's Facebooking. My Kaner scored a goal. I said, fuck your Kaner. The Rangers are winning because they just scored again.
You know, Larry Brooks did a live chat.
Are we changing subjects? Oh, subject change.
No. Listen, did you guys catch that Larry Brooks live chat that he did the other day?
Dance to Larry Brooks?
What?
Brooks Dancing Larry Brooks?
Dancing Larry Brooks. Yeah, I saw that when you sent it to me. What was your impression about that whole thing? I know you – I read it. And
yeah,
I didn't see it at what you said as much. I saw a little bit of what you gleaned from it. But I didn't – but it was funny how it got totally derailed into a total of, you know, wank fest.
Yeah, so, I don't know if it was unmoderated or what. I got the impression just reading his comments, no matter what the question was, that he doesn't want to do it. And I'm kind of in the minority. I kind of like Larry Brooks. I feel like, I get the impression he doesn't like Glenn Sather very much. So he's got an agenda sometimes. But you know what? He's the first one Glenn calls when he wants to talk to the media. So, you know, take that as you will. I think Larry Brooks is okay, but I just got the feeling from that live chat that he didn't want to do it. The Post probably forced him into it and said, look, Zippe's doing this over at Newsday. You got Andrew Gross's, you know, tweeting all the time, and he's getting out there with the fans and on the radio and doing this and doing that, and you just want to be like Oscar Madison sitting in your office banging out, you know, columns or whatever. And I think they're trying to pull – I just kind of get the feeling they're trying to pull Larry into the 21st century a little bit, and Larry's a little resistant, and I'd be very surprised after what I saw in that live chat yesterday if he ever does another one.
Yeah, he it was a little bit I certainly got a good amount of chuckles from reading some of the more nonsensical questions that just were basically, you know, deflame him and totally troll that whole chat. Although I thought he did a pretty good, he was a little bit more forthcoming with some knowledge, but it looked like questions that he's asked a lot, he just would answer it with a question. I don't know. It's tough. I'm trying to find it here, the whole bit. I haven't found it yet. So, but when I do, I love the one guy says, I saw you at the Garden.
You look like a corpse.
Yeah, that's that one.
And the one guy said, Larry, how old is that picture they have of you on the Post? Because you look like you're 30 years older than that or something like that. I don't know.
Yeah, it was pretty funny. Poor Larry, but hey, listen, you want to be, if anybody is going to that Zippe site anymore, now they make you pay for it or whatever. I know that was like hot when it was free, kind of hot, but not sure now that Newsday is a pay for thing, you know, like you have to be an Optimum Online subscriber.
Right.
So I think I got it here now, this Larry Brooks thing here, finally. Yeah. But I found it strange, and I always like these things. Actually, I like Larry Brooks is there. There is something to be said for a guy who is there and talks to the coach.
Absolutely, and he had nothing but good things to say about the coach.
Yeah, he says he's been great this year. He's been fantastic.
Said they've patched things up and they get along fine.
Let me ask you this. Why do you think that Torts was so, like, I mean, such a douche last year with the press? Was he just didn't know them? If he doesn't know you, he doesn't want to deal with you? I mean, he seems to have turned it around.
I don't know. First, a little paranoia with the whole, you know, perception of the New York media. I don't know. I can't see this organization being how they are with information, telling Tortorella that he's got to be better with the media. I just can't fathom that. But you never know. Maybe, again, we've seen it with the players, or at least, you know, seemingly with the players. Maybe we're just seeing a transformed man, as William Shatner once said. You know, I mean, Tom Coughlin, like I said, you know, I make the reference all the time. Tom Coughlin had to go through it and realize that, you know, his way just didn't work anymore, and he had to kind of change himself, and he gets along good with the media, at least so it seems, and jokes around with them and seems to have a better relationship with the media and his players. And, you know, maybe Tortorella's gone through the same thing. I don't know.
I think because he had to really eat his words last year. He came in, said we're going to be run and gun, save his death, and he couldn't produce that. And I think they had that on him all year. And when Sather came out earlier in this offseason, it's like, well, we're rebuilding. You know, we're bringing in youth. This is how Chicago did it. And I think as long as that's happening, you can't play the gotcha game with him. And
right.
He's not so much on the defensive. I think that's what probably has a lot more to do with what he's doing now. I have the comment. I'll read it to you guys.
Rock just posted it in the chat. Yeah, Rock just posted it.
Oh, you just posted it?
Yeah, but go ahead and read it for those of us that are listening.
Saw you recently at the Garden, and man, you are old. You look like my grandfather. All you need is a bottle of booze in your hand. And I think you are a wino. You spell wino, right? Out on Avenue of the Americas. Really, dude? You look pathetic and wrinkly. I think you should pull a Wade Redden right off into the sunset. The time has passed. Why not at least switch over and write in the obituary?
That's a little harsh.
Yeah.
Larry's an older guy, but he's not. I mean, he's not that old.
He's like, I'm old. Deal with this.
Yeah.
And I would have been like, your grandfather is a wino. But yeah, they hit him pretty hard there. But he's there were a lot of stupid questions.
Yeah, you know, and that's what either it was unmoderated or people are just, some people are just dumb. I mean, you get an opportunity to talk to a guy who doesn't have a whole lot of interaction with Ranger fans. Why would you waste your time asking questions like that? You know, I mean, if you look at Ralph Vacchiano of the Daily News, who covers the Giants, he did a live chat today, and it was chock full of information. You know, people asked good questions, he gave great answers, and you came away from it like you learned something. All you learned from Larry Brooks' chat was that people are weird and Larry doesn't like doing live chats.
Then this guy, old Larry, are you cynical? Are you as cynical and obnoxious in real life as you are here on the blog or writing in your column? And he answers, "Who wants to know?"
Yeah. Yeah.
If that guy had the qualifications, he would have answered that. I mean. But enough with the other chit chats. Let's face it, there's only one place for Ranger information, and that's Blue Shirt Banner Radio, people.
That's right. You ready to take calls?
Are they pertinent to hockey, Ranger hockey?
I don't know. We'll find out, I guess. I know at least two of them are. We have three calls on hold. I know at least two of them are.
All right. Bring them on, baby.
Well, let's go to the one that's been holding the longest. That's the 631-772. You're on Blue Shirt Banner Radio with Jim and Eddie. Who's this?
This is Patrick from Long Island.
Hi, Patrick from Long Island.
How are you?
Are you a first-time? Are you a first-time caller?
Yes, I am. I've been listening for quite a while, though.
Oh, I'm sorry. Then we probably owe you some money, don't we?
Oh, no, over the month, I guess you can say.
Well, good. Welcome to the program, and what's going on? What's on your mind tonight?
Other than looking forward to the live show in New Jersey, that's going to be interesting.
It will be indeed. Are you going to be there?
Yes, I am.
Oh, terrific. Awesome. Making the trip from Long Island. See?
Yes.
Beautiful.
And sometimes hearing, I guess you guys used to talk about, I guess with Paulie, about playing deck hockey out here on Long Island when you were younger. That brings back memories.
Did you play at Center Reach?
Yes, I used to play Center Reach, Oakdale, Farmingdale.
I used to ref at Oakdale Deck, actually, believe it or not.
Yeah, that place was a madhouse. It was constant fights.
Oh, yeah, that was I got some big-time brawls there. I actually got punched in the face for trying to break up a fight, which I found out early in life, the guy who tries to break it up usually gets the worst of the guys who actually fight. So I had a break fight. So you're over there in Oakdale, and
oh yeah, and now everybody just plays roller hockey. But I guess obviously a Ranger question. A guy brought up, I guess maybe last episode, about having. I would like to see more size in front of the net during the power play. And somebody brought up about putting Bugard out there.
Yeah,
and you guys
somewhat
laughed it off a little bit.
Yeah, we did. We did kind of say it. To me, in this day and age, it's a little, at least I still stick to the opinion, it's a little bit too generic of a thought to put a really big body out in front of the. The reason the Rangers power play, at least for me, is struggling is because there's no Gabber. So, but do you have a different opinion on the whole thing?
Well, I always look at the idea, because I go back to when the Rangers used to always get beat and never really went anywhere in the 80s, and I always loved having the bigger guy in front of the net to help screen the goalie or something like that. But,
right.
I mean, lately that power play has been better, for sure.
Right, yeah. Unfortunately, the Rangers don't have a guy like, you know, kind of a guy you can't move out of the crease. You know, sometimes I think that I would like to see Anisimov. You know, he is a 6 foot, you know, 3, 6 foot 4 guy. Maybe Park himself. But he does, you know, it's tough. You know, we're talking about a guy who hasn't scored in 3 or 4 years and throwing him in front of the goalie. I mean, he doesn't exactly.
Oh, I clearly understand exactly what you're talking about. I mean, do I expect any offense out of him? Generally not, but you even look at when one of the goals, I guess it was the first goal in the Chicago game the other night, they had a guy right in front of the Lundqvist, and he was unable to see the shot. So even if he barely does anything offensive, nobody's going to be able to move him, and definitely going to be able to screen the goalie.
Right.
Grossman just made a good point in the chat room.
Yeah.
How about putting Boyle in front of the net? I could see that.
I mean, yeah, that would be even just as good, definitely.
It would be better, actually, I think. Yeah, no, that's a good point. I mean, I would definitely go for Boyle in front of the net. I don't know why they haven't tried that. You know, definitely screening the goalie would be, you know, something you always want. You want to get traffic in front of the net.
And one other guy, I mean, when I get off, I guess, after you go to the next call, put me back on hold so I can listen to the show. I'm having problems with my computer. The one guy that's really hasn't been getting ripped this year compared to prior years has been Roosevelt. I mean, I'm somewhat pleasantly surprised with his play this year.
Me and Jim have gone out of this. I've always been a proponent of Roosevelt. I never look at the contract. I always look at the players. As a matter of fact, last year, before last season, they asked me who I thought the most unheralded Ranger was, and I really thought it was Michael Roosevelt.
Mm-hmm.
Now, last year, he struggled out of the gate. He didn't play well. He finished up pretty good, and he's played well. Him and Girardi's played fantastic, too.
Girardi's probably been their best defenseman, so overall.
Yeah, but I didn't see. The thing is, with as hard as Girardi, almost like I consider him like Callahan, I mean, not offensively or anything like that, is that they put their body out there so much that I can definitely see Girardi and end up getting hurt, blocking a shot, breaking a bone. I mean, to see Drury back-to-back breaking fingers and the amount of shots that he ends up blocking is amazing that he doesn't injure himself.
Yes.
And you did your mea culpa on Prust. I will do mine on Roosevelt. He has played well this season. He has played well. I am complaining about him a lot less this year than I did last year. How's that?
Mm-hmm. Oh, yeah.
Well, you know,
I mean, it was like I remember we went from ripping into Malik when he was on the team to Roosevelt. So it's like we just rotated to another guy.
Right. Now, Patrick, the chat room wants to know, and I want to know, are you at the laundromat?
No, I'm in my laundry room because it's the only room that I could smoke in my house.
I can respect that. I can respect that. That's why I do the show out on my patio.
I mean,
I can respect that.
Being married 13 years, this is where I've been kicked to. So
that's great. I love it.
Are you going to be bringing the wife to the viewing party?
Oh, please, for her to leave the house and to do something like that. She thought she was a sports fan until she met me. And she's like, you mean you watch it every night? I'm like, yeah, that's called a sports fan. There's no way in hell. I'm more likely to get my daughter, but she's only 5, when she gets a little bit older into sports. My wife, please, if it's not something she could TiVo that has either somebody losing weight or somebody seeing a ghost on TV, it ain't worth watching.
Are we married to the same girl? Well, Patrick, if you decide to bring your 5-year-old, my 4-year-old will be there, my 4-year-old daughter. So they at least could play. They could play together while we're watching the game and mingling. So feel free. It's a family place, and we're going to talk about the big get together a little more in just a little while. You want
you
us to
it.
Leave you on hold while you're in the
yeah.
laundry room there smoking?
You got it. Thank you so much.
Thank you for calling. We appreciate it. We'll talk to you soon.
Have a good night.
You too. All right, let me just make sure I get him back on hold without disconnecting.
Over house.
That's great.
Love it.
That is great. Let's welcome a. We haven't heard from James in a while. Let's bring James in. James,
oh,
good
yeah.
evening. How are you?
Hey guys, what's up?
Long time.
It's been long a
time,
yeah,
James,
too long. I missed you.
I missed you too.
I missed
you
actually. Yeah, man.
And I saw your comment on the Blue Shirt viewing party page that you're trying to make it. How's that
I'm
coming along?
I'm trying to make it. I'm trying to make it, you know?
Oh, that would be great.
How's that coming along? What are your odds right now? Where are you running? Are you 50-50, 60-40?
Yeah, it's about 50-50.
You're about 50-50,
about
okay.
50-50, yeah. I'm getting up there, but I don't know when, so I'm trying to make it for that week.
Oh, well, that would be great if you could make it. Are you going to drive up?
Yeah, in the drive.
Right. That's the great thing
about
living.
I'm going to see if I get somebody to drive with me, man, because I get tired. I'm not as young as I used to be, you know?
Yeah.
Well, none of us are, right?
Yeah. I'm going to be driving from Phoenix. This is going to be interesting.
With a 4-year-old?
No, her and my wife are. I'm going to leave here on Thursday. Her and my wife and my daughter are going to fly to Philadelphia on Saturday. And my brother will pick them up and take them up to my dad's where we'll be staying. And I'll probably get to my dad's a couple hours before they get in from the airport. So, and then they'll drive back with me. This way, my wife and daughter only have to do it one way.
Oh, man, because I went on the plane once, man, with the kid. No, I never took a road trip. Well, yeah, we did take a road trip a couple times. But the plane was the worst. When they were like, one was 2 and one was 4, forget it. Don't ever
you
do
that.
You were
that family.
Oh, don't ever do that. Oh, you want to kill yourself, man.
It's not easy. Not easy traveling with small kids.
Now, James, listen, you've been through the wars, I mean, for many years with the Rangers I know you're about as skeptical as they come, and listen, we all should be as skeptical if you've been with this team for a long time. Are you believing in this, or are you just thinking, okay, when something worse?
You know what,
happen?
Eddie? Remember last year we were drinking the Kool-Aid real early, and
yeah.
we were let down big time. So this year I said, you know what, I'm going to be patient. I'll watch the games. I'm not going to get crazy. I'm just going to just take it easy and not be too, drink the Kool-Aid, but I'm not going to get too down either at the same time. This time I'm going to finally just keep, as they say, an even keel, right? And,
right.
You see these guys, we have a young team. We see a lot of young guys who came up through, at least through the Rangers system, and that's good to see. And I'd rather have it this way than there was years ago, buying 9 million free agents and spending all this money. And the money, it ain't our money, so really who cares? I mean, they threw away the money. They spent it on, you know, whoever, the Flurries and all these guys, and it never, and the whole league, not, never worked out. So I'd rather have it this way and see these younger guys develop and let them play, let them go through the ringer, man, let them, you know, play together, let them, you know, fight for each other, and, you know, hopefully, you know, by the end of the season. I, you know, I keep telling everybody that I know, I said, well, give them a couple of years. I mean, I'm not expecting anything this year.
Yeah, that's the way I'm looking at it. I didn't want to see the same old, same old.
Right.
I want to see them work every night. This, the NHL, the Eastern Conference especially, there's just a lot of mediocre teams. They really are not like, oh, wow. You know, there's some teams that have a couple elite players, you know, like your Pittsburgh, the Capitals. But after that, it's kind of like, you can maybe make a case of Tampa being kind of, you know. But it looks like, it really looks like it's wide open. So if you can win these games and just squeak by, and I think that, you know, right now, it's hard to say. And there's a part of me, because I still have that Ranger fan in, the skeptical doom and gloom Ranger fan part of me,
yeah,
still saying, you know what? I guarantee when Gavrik comes back and Prosper, everything's going to change for the worse. Like, you know, like, why couldn't they go back to that old team?
Yeah, it's like you think, yeah, the better guys are coming back and we're going to get worse.
Right.
Yeah.
I know it's irrational to think that, but I do. Because I'm so used to some, you know, living the life of a Ranger fan.
We've all been through so many times and so many years, and you know, I'm not hoping anybody gets hurt. I mean, but if somebody else, you know, ends up getting hurt, you know, usually works out that way. Someone else will get hurt or something, and someone will come back around the same time. So, you know, I guess it'll work its way out either way. And Torts is going to have to make the decision who's going to sit. But one guy I really like, man, is that Brian Boyle, man. He's been doing like everything. I've seen this guy back check and hit, and he's chipping in with some goals, and he seems to be, I mean, he's standing up for the, you know, for his teammates, and Prust, I mean, after, you know, there's a stick almost take his eye out there, he's right there, he's getting into it, and he's mixing it up and fighting, and it's great to see, you know, these kind of guys do that, especially the Prust. You know, we knew Prust was, you know, when he came over, he was one of them type of players, but he's showing me a lot more than I thought he was.
Oh, yeah. I was saying, why? Why is he even on his team? You know, and he's shown that he's, you know,
yeah,
he's
more
showing
than capable.
Yeah, no, he's more than capable. It's, you know, it's good to see that they, you know, that third round pick that they gave up. And, you know, we talked about this in the offseason, that out of all those free agents and all those pickups from last offseason, not this offseason, but last offseason,
right,
the only guy left was Boyle and Gavrik.
Yeah.
And if you want to talk about, now, I don't know if you guys checked the stats, but Scott Gomez is stinking the joint up over there in Montreal.
Yeah, the fans are getting on to him, too.
We got rid of him. We got Gavrik, right, with the money that we
yep.
And we've got McDonough and Valentenko in the minors on defense for Scott Gomez. Now, say what you will about Glenn Sather. I don't know what Bob Gainey was smoking that day when he made that trade, when he later got fired.
He was smoking something, right?
He was smoking some good
stuff.
Because me and Jim have argued about this as far as Gomez's production with the Rangers. Yes, it was pretty much on par what he had done with the Devils, but I hated his smirking. I hated his attitude. And I really am glad he's doing terrible in Montreal. And as much as we have a saver, we have it. That was a great trade.
Yeah,
that was
I think that was
so
the best
ways.
Thing. I mean, none of us thought he could get rid of Gomez in his contract. I don't think anybody in the world thought that could happen. And like we said, Gainey was smoking something. I don't know what's the matter with that guy, but hey, he took the contract and Gomez, and you know, and I mean Gomez and what's his name? They used to play with the Devils with him. They put him on the same line again, and they were doing okay.
Giunta,
yeah, they were doing okay.
Yeah.
Now, I don't know if I don't follow them, but are they still on the same line? Did they break him up or any idea?
I'm not sure.
Yeah,
but
so I mean, but
Cal Jones in the chat room. I'm sorry, Jim. He just brought it up. It was Scott Gomez and Pyatt for McDonough, Valentenko, and Higgins, who turned out to be Prust, and the
right.
salary space to get Gathering. That's, come on, even a
yeah.
Phoenix could say that's a good deal right now.
Yeah,
I mean,
yeah, that's looking great. And as much as, you know, I'm going to say the basher too, just like everybody else, but you know what? Maybe the guy finally got it right because he got rid of that, you know, those contracts. Well, he did a few things, and now all of a sudden we're starting to see, you know, our guys coming up. And we're starting to see our guys get chances. We saw it in the preseason, and you know, we're seeing, you know, even though some of them got sent back, you know, got sent back after preseason, whatever, and that's what everybody's saying. Hey, maybe they'll be up, you know, sooner rather than later, sometime during the season, if they're doing well down in Hartford or up in Hartford, whatever you want to call it. So, you know, for me, I like what I see. I mean, much more even than last year. Because last year, after a few games were let down, and even if they let us down again, even down the line, if it doesn't work out, it's not, you know, as good as it is now. I still feel better about it because of the guys that we do have down there, and the guys that we have here are younger, you know. And then you see Dubinsky stepping up, and Paulie D is going to make us all look bad if Dubinsky scores 40 goals, guys.
No, he said 50. He's got a long way to go. He said 50. He said 50. We're going to hold
50,
him to it.
He said 40.
Yeah.
Okay. fifty stretching a bit, but if you can score 35-40, I'd be happy with that. And I don't think anybody would sneeze at that one, right?
Yeah.
Except Eddie, yeah. Right? With the
I'll take that. And the thing is, he also said that Dubinsky was a Cam Neely type. So, Paulie, I don't know about that. Because I got to watch it. I got two guys who hate my man Grotchev, and I got to watch out for them. I have to have ammo against them. That's Paulie was all over me with the Grotchev is a bust, and Ricky O has got his eyes on Grotchev, calling him Glychev. And Grotchev has not looked bad. I mean, he doesn't play a lot. But, you know, he's certainly not the bust that I was led to believe by a lot of people said, oh, he's invisible in Hartford. He doesn't do anything.
Well, has he been that bad?
In Hartford, yeah.
Yeah. I'm looking at Frolov this year, and I'm looking at him, and it's reminding me of Zverev from a couple of years ago. The guy is, like, you know, just invisible right now, and you know, it's like, you know, you like trade off one for another, same type of play. You think he's going to score some 30 goals, and he's been invisible, man. I haven't seen anything from him.
I just think, yeah, I know. I've got to wait to see him play with somebody. You know, he's got to play with Gaborik and Prospel perhaps, or somebody else. He's got to get on a skill line. Right now, we've got a bunch of, you know, just a lot of gritty players. And listen, I'm glad we got gritty players.
Oh, yeah, definitely. And as you said, I don't think it was you, Eddie, said it earlier, I want to see somebody send a message to Philly. I want to see somebody send a message to Carcillo for last season. You know, any of them. Pick any of them guys, you know. I mean, do something. Do something, man. Do whatever you got to do. Send that message.
Right. That's a great point because I feel they need to send a message. Listen. Win or lose, we are not the same Rangers that you beat out of a playoff spot and beat up our best player last year. We are a different team. You're just not going to be able to take liberties with us. As a matter of fact, we're going to take liberties with you. You know?
Yeah.
That's
the way I feel.
I mean,
Yeah, see?
We'll get into that Bugs Bunny bit, haven't we? Hey, Rocky, right?
Around the house.
Oh, you guys were doing that Kennedy stuff last week, man. Or a week before, man.
Oh, don't get us started. I could come back at any time.
Maryland.
I'm still stuck in Hartford.
I choose Maryland, not because she is easy, but because I am hard.
Nice. All right, James, listen, we're going to take some other calls. Don't be a stranger and see if you can make it up to Hackensack. All right, buddy?
Definitely will. Hope to see you soon, guys. You have a good one.
All right,
take
you too,
James.
All right, talk to you later. Bye.
Always great to hear from James. We love him.
Yeah, he's a great guy.
All right. The phone lines have blown up, as they always do, right in the middle of the show. So let's keep it going. 347-894. You're on Blue Shirt Banner Radio with Jim and Eddie. Who's this?
What's up, guys? It's Rock. How are you?
Hey, Rock. How you doing?
How are you doing, Rock?
Good, good. Missed the last couple of shows. Had a couple of late nights at work, so I apologize.
No, we missed you.
That's okay. Yeah. You're allowed.
Very very interesting start to the season. A little bit surprised in certain guys the way they're playing. I know you mentioned Brian Boyle, and I know Eddie, you didn't even have him making the team this year. And
yep.
He's proven everybody wrong, and I'm going to eat some crow myself. And Roosevelt's played pretty good. I'm going to admit it. He's played pretty well, and you know what?
This is coming. This is from the guy who wrote a 6-page manifesto on Blue Shirt Banner: how to get rid of Michael Roosevelt.
Yeah. I still want to trade him, but you know, he has played well, and you know, the better he plays, the more likely he is he can get traded. So now we need Drury to come back and play well, but that's another story. Very impressed with the team's effort. They're blocking shots. They're sacrificing their body, which is something that that we've only seen from a few guys. It seems like everybody's bought into what the team concept is and kind of sacrificing themselves, which is good. I mean, you can't be blocking 35 shots every game, though. I mean, guys are eventually going to start wearing down from that. I mean, you can only play that kind of style for so long before guys start getting hurt. So they got to figure out a way to get a little bit more puck possession, because obviously if you're blocking 35 shots, you don't have to puck that much. So,
I said that at the top of the show. This time's 5-on-5. It looks like the other team is on the power play.
Yeah.
They have the puck
yeah.
in the Rangers zone. And I don't know what it is, if they're not attacking the puck carriers, and they're like playing a zone defense.
Yeah.
And it's either blocked or the goalie has to make a good save.
Yeah, they're just collapsing
in
front of the net, basically.
And like you said, you can't do that. You could do that in the playoff series, maybe a couple mm-hmm. playoff series. But you can't play like you're shorthanded the whole game, or like a majority of the game. They got to rectify that. So,
just a little inside tidbit. I have a friend that I actually play hockey with that is friends with a lot of the guys, the Long Island guys, Komisarek and Chris Higgins and Eric Nystrom and Gilroy, for that matter. And through the grapevine, he heard that the Rangers, that Tortorella is not a Gilroy fan, and that they're looking to move him. So there's just something to throw out there. You know, I don't take too much onus on it, but I heard that through the grapevine, so I figured I'd pass it along.
That's good. I mean, you can see that, you know, he's kind of rotating in and out. Let's face it. He is in the last year of his contract, right? He only signed a 2-year deal.
Yes.
What he was supposed to be, he isn't. He has been a little bit more consistent defensively, but I think they would trade him to maybe get what is it? They have too many left-handed shots. Maybe to get a right-handed shot.
They
have too many lefty shots. No, right-handed shots. They need lefty
right.
shots.
Right.
Okay. So to maybe get a left-handed shooting defenseman, I think and even Danton Larry Brooks talked about this. He was asked about it too, and he thinks that he could see Gilroy going at the trading deadline. I don't know what you can get for him, but
probably get less for him by the time the trade deadline rolls around than you can now.
That's true.
At the rate he's going, you know.
Right.
I hate to say it because you know I'm in Gilroy's corner, but he's another one just seems to be putting in shifts at this point.
I think he's learning the position, but he's running out of time because he only has a certain amount of time to impress this coaching staff who's paying him, he's not getting, a big minutes. And I think he's 26. He's still filling into his body.
Yeah, you love that one.
Still, yeah, I'm not going to forget that one. And I think, I've looked at teams like Boston. I think since he's a Boston boy and somebody who likes college, the college atmosphere, still hasn't forgotten that he won the Hobey Baker. And I was trying to think, how many players who have won the Hobey Baker have turned out to be really good players? Maybe you guys
Mike Motto won it, didn't he? But I wouldn't consider him a really great player. And didn't Mike York win it?
George McPhee won it. I'm trying to think. Maybe you guys in the chat room could help me out here.
I'm looking it up as we speak. Neil Broughton.
Oh, he's a good player.
Yeah, he was
he's
a good
player. Paul Kariya.
Ah, all right. There's a really
Brendan Morrison. Some guy named Drury.
Good boy.
Ryan Miller.
All right. Wow. We got a goalie and two good forwards.
Jordan Leopold. Junior Lessard.
He's my favorite.
Scott Pellerin.
Ugh.
Tom Kervers.
Oh, God. Former Islander.
Kip Miller.
Can't say anything bad about him. His brother was on the show.
That's right. Excuse me. So
you wound up
so you had a couple of decent guys.
Yeah.
What I wanted to, I don't know if you guys. I mean, I think I like the little post you put up on the I think the site about the defenseman. I don't know, or maybe it wasn't the site. I read something somewhere. I've been all over the place. Forgive me. Michael Sauer. The Rangers record with Michael Sauer in the lineup. Have you guys saw that by any chance?
What happened?
I thought I saw something, but I can't remember what it was.
Yeah, the Rangers are actually 4-1 when Michael Sauer's in the lineup. And
that might have been on the Larry Brooks chat yesterday.
Maybe that was where I read it. I know I read it somewhere.
Might be.
The Rangers are actually 4-1 when Michael Sauer plays. And what I like about Sauer, the way he plays, you don't notice him on the ice. And to me, I think that's what it shows sometimes when you have a very steady defenseman. I mean, he's not flashy by any stretch. He's a big body, and I haven't seen him make a mistake yet. I mean, I don't know how anyone else feels about that. I mean, I know he's not logging. They're only getting maybe 12 minutes a game, but the guy has played. I mean, you notice when Gilroy's out there because he's always looking over his shoulder. I mean, I don't want to start bashing on Gilroy. He is what he is. But I think that Sauer should definitely play more. Now, I don't know if they were playing Gilroy to possibly showcase him, to maybe get some of his confidence up or what. But, I really have been impressed with the way Sauer has played. And, I mean, the record is indicative to, you know, when he's in the lineup. Granted, I don't know what games they were. They might have been I'm not really sure what the games that he played in were. But I've been impressed with the way he's played so far. So I don't know how you feel about that.
Now, see, what you said about I said the same thing about Emminger, that I hadn't really noticed him much, and that's probably the best compliment I could give him.
Well, Emminger's at least throwing the body around. I mean, he's taking some silly penalties, especially the first couple of games of the season.
Yeah, but I was talking more about the last couple of games. I don't seem to be noticing him as much, and to me that's kind of a compliment. You know, I said defensemen are like O-linemen in football. You know, you only notice them when they shit the bed.
Pretty much, yeah. the last thing I wanted to ask was Evgeny Grachev, is anyone else kind of confused in why he's up here at this stage, playing the amount of minutes he's playing, carrying his salary? I'm just a little bit confused. It wasn't like he was lighting up Hartford.
He wasn't.
I just don't understand. You know, I mean, I like Grachev. I'm still in his corner. I mean, it took Anisimov a few years to develop. Sometimes some of these guys just need time to grow into their body and, you know, kind of figure out, you know, what kind of game they're going to play. So I'm not ready to jump off the Grachev bandwagon yet. I just find it very strange that he should be playing. I think he should be playing 20 minutes in Hartford and not playing 6 minutes on the fourth line with the Rangers with Todd White and Bugard. I mean, I don't know. I just don't understand what the logic behind that is.
Well, Jim, do you want to address this first, or
other than to say I said the same thing last week? You know, I couldn't understand why, if Bugard's out of the lineup, why do you call up a guy who doesn't have a similar playing style to Grachev? And I didn't see the benefit of him, you know, getting four or five, getting Bugard's minutes essentially. And that was it. But Eddie, go ahead.
I think this is my reasoning and also what I think is happening. I believe that Hartford, first of all, it's a chance to see if the Rangers really are invested, you know, that their investment is not a complete and total bust. If he's being maybe perhaps mishandled in Hartford, I think he has. I can't, you know, I don't have confirmation of that than some people telling me, you know, Ken Janander is trying to make him a two-way player. I've always stuck with this, and I even argued with Leslie Treff about this. I think this guy is a guy that needs to be playing at the top level of hockey in with coaching that is on his behind, so to speak, and where it, every game is a very important game for him. I've noticed that he has not really tried to do anything offensively. I think he tried one in one of the games, and he had the puck taken away from him. I think this is a test to see if he can keep up with the speed of the NHL game, as well as bring the intensity to each shift, which he wasn't doing in Hartford. Now, I think they're taking a look at him, and I think it'll be a temporary look. I think he'll wind up back in Hartford. But I think it's to see if they can actually work with this guy. And you know, he's somewhat turning into a project because last year was horrible for him in Hartford. Mm-hmm. And I'm hearing a lot of things. You know, Leslie Treff came on the show and said, you know, nothing's happening. She has some questions about the management and the way things would be handled with Connecticut, Hartford, whatever you want to call them. So I think that bringing him up just basically to see if he'll play. And frankly, I've seen him involved. You know, we heard a lot about him gliding around, and I don't think he's going to be allowed to glide with Torts. He would have been sent down.
The only thing I've noticed with him, the few games that he's played, is, and he likes to skate with his stick in the air. And I know that sounds very silly to that I've noticed that about him, but I think you have to have your stick on the ice when you're playing. And he seems to, again, it's being very trivial, but I think that that's the one thing I noticed about him. But he hasn't made many mistakes. The fourth line hasn't got pinned in the zone. I think the one line that's got pinned in the zone more than anybody is the Christensen, Frolov, Pruss line. That line couldn't get out of the zone the other night. But he hasn't been a he hasn't hurt the team. So I was just curious what you guys thought about why he was up here, but it makes sense what you're saying. They maybe just want to get a look at him, see if like you said, if he can keep up
it may look down the line and say, listen, this guy is not worth our time and just get rid of him. You know, why he's got some promise, you know. So I don't think he's there to replace Bugard, but it is – I was more shocked, to finish up, that Grachev was the next on the pecking order of guys to be brought up. I really thought it would be Zuccarello. I didn't think it would be Grachev, especially after his poor training camp. He was bad in training camp.
Yeah.
So I think there's something else, an undercurrent of something, because it doesn't really kind of make sense why. And I think that makes – I think what I'm saying, at least, you know, theorizing is happening, is they want to see if this kid can play at the NHL level. And right now, you know, fourth line minutes, getting 4 minutes a game, you know. And you're right. The third line has gotten pinned in a lot more than the fourth line. And I've been watching him exclusively, Grachev, and he is looking not to make mistakes. And I think the last thing really now, what he does is he doesn't want the puck. He just wants to get involved. I know that's not good to say he doesn't want the puck, but, you know, he's, what is he, 20, 21 years old?
I think he's 20. I think he's going to be 21 this year. So, I mean, he's, like he said, he still has some time to develop. And sometimes that happens.
Right. So let's not get crazy. As long as he doesn't look, you know, we've seen Frolov has looked more of a buffoon on the ice, not skating and just standing there than he has. So
he's very strong along the boards. It's just like he just has nobody to give the puck to. I mean, he's winning battles in the corner. He just can't seem to get to the net. And I don't know if it's they're just keying on him, but he just seems to be winning battles in the corner. He just can't seem to get to the front of the net. So I don't know if that's something that might change once Gabbert comes back. But, you know, it's a lot of questions are going to be answered, I guess, within the next couple of months. And the last thing, wasn't Gabbert supposed to be out 3 weeks? I mean,
four was the – well, first – see, that was the other – the Rangers at first said 2 to 3, and then Gabrick came right out and said, no, I think it's going to be more like 2 to 4 weeks. And then that was like the last I heard of it. But he is skating. I did read
he's
that.
He's skating,
was,
and then they said he's a couple of weeks away yet. So now – if he's still of weeks away, you're looking at like another month almost. That's the way it's looking, right?
Well, how long has he been out now? 2 weeks?
Well, he's been out since opening night, so he's been out close to a month already. Opening night was later. It was the 15th, right?
Opening night at the Garden.
Yes, was the 15th.
Yeah, I think so,
right.
Yeah. I think he's
so,
only
right,
been
so
out
not
just
out,
over 2 weeks.
All right, maybe it just seems longer because they've kind of, their games have been so spread out that
yeah,
it seems like
yeah,
it's been longer.
Yeah.
But,
so.
Yeah, like you said, we're going to have a lot of questions to be answered. So the team's playing well, and I guess these guys can take their time and heal. As long as the team's playing well, there's no reason for anybody to rush back.
Exactly. All right, Rock.
So,
good to take some other calls, buddy.
Good
to hear from
you.
We'll talk to you next week.
Talk to you next week. Thanks.
Let's see if
yeah,
I
just want to also mention about Grachev one last thing. The Rangers have a big Russian contingent playing with the team now. Four guys or so that are Russian. And that helps get these guys acclimated, especially a guy like him, because I know he struggled with that. And, you know, down in Hartford, you know, I don't know how much he's been exposed to other Russian players on the team. You know, I don't know who they had down there last year. I'm trying to think of one. I can't come up with anybody right now, but I think that also will help him to say, listen, you know, and he knows once he gets a taste of it, maybe when he gets sent down, he'll work that much harder. All right, I'm done with that.
Yeah, you might be absolutely right. I hope you're right for all our sakes.
Yeah.
All right, let's see. Robbie, what's going on, buddy?
How you doing, guys?
All right. What's going on?
Tomorrow night is huge. It's just a flat out huge. They really need to set. These are the biggest. And then Friday night, because they play the Devils, right? So
yeah,
that's right. All right. This is as big as it gets right here. You got the two rivals, especially the Flyers. It's just they must win this game. I can't. You have to win the first game to set the tone. The last year was just so heartbreaking. I can't take it. They must win at least one of the games. They must win tomorrow night. I know it's still early, and like you said, it's no time to rush. If the team is playing well without Gabrick and Prosper, and really, there's no need to rush them back, but they must win tomorrow night. That's all I can say. They must win. All right?
Okay. I understand what you're saying, but life, we'll move on if they don't win tomorrow night. Now, do you agree with Eddie? Do you think the Rangers need to have Bugard out on the ice early in the game sending messages?
Yes, definitely, definitely. You can't have Carcillo. I actually stole that from you, Eddie. But anyway, you have to have Bugard on there to set the tone. Because that was one of the things. The Saints did bring up a good point. The reason why that they even brought him in was to say that, you know, they got pushed around too much last year that they didn't really like, and that this will settle all the problems, so... I'm over the contract. Let me. Are you over the contract? The 4 years, $6 million. You guys over it?
Yeah.
Nothing we can. No, we gotta be over it. Gotta be over it.
Oh.
There's nothing we can do about it.
Oh, this no. It wasn't as bad as writing. So.
So. All right. What else?
What else? Well, it's just.
You sound like you're on the ledge here. We won two in a row. They're playing well. What's the matter? Step out of it.
I know.
Yeah. You're talking to my grandmother here.
Yeah, did you guys hear what happened to the garden with the ceiling and that asbestos like chemical thing?
Garden's fine, ready to go. The old girl's just fine. She'll be okay.
Really? What's the update with that? I haven't been.
Last I heard, the DET had cleared the said there was no asbestos problem in the garden, and I think I think there's some basketball team playing there tomorrow night. Robbie, I swear to God, don't mention their name. So that's the latest. The guard will be fine, and as far as I know, there's no problem. I had a bad vibe yesterday about it. Just everything I was reading seemed rather ominous. The NHL was, you know, already cautious. You know, they were being cautious and worried, everybody was talking about contingency plans. But it sounds like everything's good to go, and Yeah, we'll let them play a couple of basketball games there first, and as long as nothing falls on their heads, then that'll be good to go for hockey.
All right. There was a little bit. Was there talk? I mean, I know maybe it was just conjecture. The Rangers would actually play their games at the Rock.
Well, I heard the
eyes upset. It was just, you know, it was all speculation. You know, I mean, Andrew Gross mentioned in his story about it yesterday that even the arena that the Wolfpack play in was available Sunday night. You know, and he mentioned the Izod Center, but he said he didn't know how they probably don't have ice and how long would it take them to make ice.
Oh,
so,
yeah, you know, that reminds me. Look, the reason why the Devils said that they moved to Prudential Center was because they said that the Meadowlands was, like, too swampy, there was no train access, it's hard to get to, and that the arena's enough and everything. Now, you tell me this. If the Garden wasn't ready and the Rangers had to play at the Izod Center, let's just say, forget the Prudential Center, let's just say the Izod Center on Sunday against the Blues, let's just say Rangers fans packed it. That would be I'm just saying hypothetically here. That would be such a slap in the face to the Devils organization, because Devils fans are in denial. They say that the only reason why the Rangers have more fans was because that we've been around longer and everything. I swear, Rangers fans would pack that place even if they went. It would be such a smack in the face, slap in the face to the Devils. Would you agree with that?
I think it would be. Well, I think it would be slap to those idiot Islander fans. You know, and I know you're going to say, how does it correlate to being an Islander fan? So, you know, but, you know, idiot and Islander fan is basically saying the same thing, except for a few people I know. The Islander fans, I've done battle with a lot of these nitwits on YouTube who claim that Ranger fans only draw because we are central to New York City, that New York City being one of the biggest cities in the world, that's why we all the corporate people get seats, and that's why for the majority of years, which this year I think they're not.
That's why we always pack the Coliseum and Prudential Center.
Right.
That's right. But go on. Yeah.
But they don't realize that the Ranger fans are in Connecticut. The Ranger fans are in Jersey. The Ranger fans are out in Long Island like I am. And we're from all over. And they would have no problem packing that place in New Jersey because there's so many Ranger fans in Jersey. There's a tremendous amount of fans.
They're so loyal, too. Like, we're all loyal, right? You know?
Yeah. Well, Ricky O, he's from Hasbro Heights. He's one of the most loyal Ranger fans I've ever met.
They're
and Jim,
tortured
too.
By getting tortured by Devils fans ever since I moved here. I also saw this YouTube video of the last game of the year when the Devils, they were playing at Prudential. I don't know if they were already in, but anyway. They were in the concourses at the Rock, and they were watching the game, and the Rangers-Flyers game, and they were like, they were cheering once the Rangers lost. And I'm telling you, see, that's what happens when you root against other teams like that, when you spend more time hating on your number one rival than you do cheering for your own team that you supposedly love, that comes back on. You're not Parise's up for 3 months.
Yep. So, all right. Well, one last thing on the Devils, Robbie. You know, that argument that the Rangers have been around for forever and the Devils, haven't been around. You know what? They've been around, what, 35? How long have they been they're going on almost 30 years? They're on they should be on their second generation of fans. It's not a legitimate excuse anymore.
Exactly. It's true. Exactly. Plus, the fans that they have are completely arrogant and obnoxious, so.
Yeah. Most of them. All right, Robbie. Well, listen, we gotta move along. We've got a lot of calls to take and a short time to do it. Are we going to see you on November 26th? Yes or no?
I'll most likely, yes, but I'm not too sure. All right.
All right. All right. We'll talk
to you
next week.
Tomorrow night's a big game. Let's go Rangers, baby. I'm pumped. I'll speak to you guys next week.
All right.
Take care, bro.
All right. You want to take another call, or do you have something else?
I just want to say, and Grotius just said it. Islander and Devil fans are more concerned about whether the Rangers win or lose than their own team. That they are more obsessed with Ranger fans and the fact that we have pride in our team regardless of record. We are proud of this team. And listen, we bitch amongst ourselves, but if anybody steps to the Rangers outside our little Ranger lexicon, they're going to get a hockey beatdown, as they say.
I would agree with that, and I would also say that and I think Frosty would agree with me, that, and you probably would too. That a lot of Met fans suffer from the same ilk, if you will. you know, they're more concerned with what the Yankees are doing than their own team. And that, you know, that's little brother syndrome, you know?
Yeah, I guess.
I'm not saying all Met fans are like that. You know, I don't think you are. It's fun to see the Yankees lose, but I don't live my whole life around the Yankees.
I don't follow baseball that much anymore, but I could just tell you, I don't have anything against the Yankees. I run into, at least on Long Island, there are a lot of stupid Yankee fans out here. And I know some of my best friends are Yankee fans, and they're great guys, when I go into a 7-Eleven and I'm just wearing a Mets hat for the fact to cover my bald head, receding hairline head, and some guy goes, "Hey, this is Yankee Town," out of nowhere, and I say, "Hey, I thought this was Ronkonkoma." It's a little crazy. But when I'm buying a CD at the CD place and I have my Met hat on and somebody goes, "I hate the Mets," the guy behind the counter. We're going to debate. This ain't WFAN. This ain't a show. I'm just one. Listen, chuckle. Ring it up. Ring my CD up. I want to be out of here. I don't want to have a discussion with you on it. So, yes. All right. So, go on, sir. Let's go to more phone calls.
All right. I can't keep up with this switchboard tonight. Let's see.
It's working.
It's working wonderfully. Blog Talk Radio, you are doing a fine job of producing this program this evening. 201-916, you're on Blue Shirt Banner Radio with Jim and Eddie. Who's this?
Hello.
Hello.
It's Kristen. I'm calling from Seattle.
Hi, Kristen. Right. How are you? Kristen, you're out there for the Giants game, right?
Yes, I am. I don't like the Giants, but my friend is, so I'm going.
We're going to have to let you go, Kristen.
Oh, come on.
Yeah.
I'm just kidding. All right, so what's on your mind?
I'm just going to say hi. See, I got the reminder the show is on, but I'm 3 hours behind. But I just want to say hi to everybody. That's
well,
on
hello.
There, since I can't go on the computer. It's not working. So, I'm just going to say hi. What's up?
Now, are you staying at this friend's house, or are you at a hotel of some sort?
I'm staying at a house. It's my friend from Florida, her brother's house. And they live here, so we're staying here. And we went to Mount Rainier today. And just going to go to Seattle tomorrow and the next day. It's right outside of Seattle. So.
Okay. I've been to Seattle.
Yes, you've been to Seattle. Do you like it?
Yeah, it's always rainy. There's a lot of hippies around. There's too many coffee shops. Yeah, but I like
Starbucks on the corner everywhere.
Right. I mean, there's a coffee shop everywhere. I mean, you know, even if it's not Starbucks, they've got another one out there. I forget the name of it, but it's another one that's got it. Are you going to go to the Science Fiction Museum? They have the Science Fiction Museum.
That wasn't on my list. Should I go there? I'm going to the Underground. I'm going to the chocolate place, the old chocolates. Yeah,
right.
To see that troll under the bridge.
Right.
What else?
How about the Space Needle there? The
Space Needle, yep. Going to the Space Needle.
Skip that, because that's completely boring.
It's boring?
Yeah, that's bad.
Well, I don't care. I don't know if I'm going to come back.
But go to that science fiction. The Science Fiction Museum is in near that space. That's pretty good. You'd like that. They got the Jim. You know what they got there? They got
what's that?
Captain Kirk's what's the thing? He sat on the
his chair.
His captain's chair there. What's that called? The bridge. You know, on the bridge. The captain.
Oh, they got very nice.
Right.
Oh, that would be cool.
Yeah, they
every time. Okay, cool.
All right, so who are you going to be rooting for at the Seattle World?
Neither team. Well, I'm a 49ers fan and Jets fan, but I'm not wearing my 49ers gear there because we suck really bad. So I'm not going to wear that stuff. I'm going to wear my Ranger stuff. Look for me. I'm third row from the bench, from the Giants bench. You'll see me with my jersey on.
Mandar says you're the one with the giant rack. Have you been sending
that? No, that's not me. I got the giant ass. My friend's got a giant rack, but I got the giant ass.
Oh,
yeah. Mandar? Oh, yeah. I'm trying to get in the banter on the boobs club. Now he won't let me in it since I said that.
You might be a boob.
I'll be a boob. Listen, I want to ask you, what's up with Boogard? What? He's not hurt, right?
No, I think he's over the, he had an infected finger and he's over it. He's fine.
Okay, all right. Now, I wasn't sure. I was like, well, why are you going to bring up, Gratchev and not play Boogard? I mean, I want to see Boogard against Carcillo. That's why.
Well, that's what we're all kind of hoping for.
Yeah, if they show it here on the West Coast, I'm not sure, but I can always watch it replay when I get home.
There you go.
Well, I'm glad that you called all the way from Seattle. I think I'm pretty happy about that, Jim. We got some loyal listeners.
That we do. All right, Kristen, we'll have fun up there, and go Giants, and we'll talk to you next week.
Go Giants, she said. All right.
All right.
Hey.
Talk to you later.
Bye.
Bye.
Bye-bye.
All right, that was Kristen from Seattle. All right, now we got to, let's see, we're moving through the phone calls here. Let's welcome in the newest employee of the NHL store in New York City, Zach. How are you, buddy?
I'm good. How about you guys?
Good. Congratulations on getting the job.
Yeah,
thank you.
It's the first time hearing of it. Thank you.
Yeah.
I mean, congratulations, Rick.
Thank you very much, Eddie, for that. Yes, I was there earlier today. I got a new pair of sneakers. I got a couple of Ranger shirts, and I get to start working next Friday. Next Friday is going to be an awesome day, not just because I'm working there, but the Rangers are going to be unveiling the third jerseys at the NHL store next Friday evening. So I suggest anybody who can should head on out to the NHL store and check it out. I know there are going to be a couple of Ranger alumni players like Messier and Richter. They're going to be there. So it should be a lot of fun.
Cool.
Now, I'm just getting this update in that Martin Brodeur is hurt and had to leave the game against Chicago.
I just turned on the game. Hedberg is now in net.
Wow. Now, what was this thing about Messier? I was reading that, and I was distracted for a second.
Messier and Richter will be at the NHL store next week, next Friday.
Next Friday? And what are they promoting?
The Rangers third jersey.
Ah. What time is that supposed to take on?
It's supposed to be in the evening, I think, around 5, 6 o'clock, maybe.
Yeah, well, who's going to show up to that? People got to do things.
Friday?
Maybe I'll show up for that.
What do you have that's more important than that?
I know.
Zach, maybe we could you talk to your boss there at the NHL store, and we could do a live show.
Yeah, I think I'll be fired if I mention you guys.
Yeah.
What's that?
Let him get in good first. A couple of years working there if he wants to.
Oh, God. A couple of years. He'll be
my
teaching.
My first day working there.
Well, that's good news. It's a good place. I've been there. It's a little bit, it's New York City prices. It's a little bit, a little too much for my taste, although they're McFarlane hockey figures are pretty reasonable, pretty much with the going rate. I think I bought one from there. And do you get any kind of discount, like a?
I get a big discount.
Are you being facetious or sarcastic with me?
No, I'm being serious. I get 50% discount.
Oh!
Fire!
Going right. Shopping when I come back east.
Yeah, me too. I'm always in that place. So it was last year.
Oh, we're going to get out the Blue Shirt Band of Radio Amex.
And I do plan on working there on Black Friday. So before the shindig in Hackensack, you guys
can
go to the NHL store. Come to the NHL store first.
A couple people need rides from Manhattan, like Marcy Braverman. Why don't you hook up with her?
Well, I intend on driving out to Hackensack. As far as giving her a ride, maybe.
Now, Now, Zach, really quick before we let you go, you were also banished from the on Facebook, weren't you? We were talking about it last night, kind of having a laugh about it.
Did you guys have a segment about that in the beginning of the show?
We did.
What'd you call it?
I mentioned it.
No, you just mentioned it.
He went on a mouth like rant about it.
You should have called it the Blackhawks identity crisis.
Oh, it's Blackhawk Banner Radio.
Yep, she banished me. And last heard from her, let's see, when did the Rangers score their first goal on Monday? That was the last time I heard from her.
Oh well. What are you going to do? We'll get over it, Zach. This too shall pass, my friend. Well, congratulations on the job. We're going to move on, and we will talk to you next week.
Yep, definitely. And you guys should definitely come out to the store, especially next Friday.
I will be there.
All right. I'll see you guys
later. All right. Talk to you later.
All right. Bye.
You're going to go in and visit the guy on his first day at work. That'll be awesome.
Well, I got to say, Zach's one of my favorite people. Because when I met Zach, he had come out to one of my card shows that I had done all the way out here. And I talked to this dude for like 2.5 hours. And he was I said, I have nobody to talk hockey with. All my friends, I got a couple friends. And he seems to have completely, well, I'm not saying through me, but through the show and Facebook and everything. He's got friends at the yin-yang now. And they're all talking hockey. I'm glad for him. I'm glad that things are working out for him.
Well, you know, that was what Frosty said when I wished him a happy birthday, and he said, you know, because of your show, I've got a whole new group of friends that I really cherish, and that he can't wait to see us at the Point and Still on November 26th, and we're gonna get Ricky on because he's been holding for a long time. In just a minute, I was kind of saving him for the last 10-15 minutes or so that he could talk, but we got one more call we're going to take real quick. This is a Skype call. Who's this?
Hello.
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 Hey, it's Margaret.
Hey, Margaret. How you doing?
Yeah, listen, public service announcement.
Okay.
Sunday's game, limited service on the Long Island Railroad. Just be careful how you get in there for Sunday night, guys.
Okay, for the Sunday night game, limited service on the Long Island Railroad. Are they...
Nope.
What's happening over there?
Well, they're taking care of the switches at Jamaica, so they have limited train service, and it's not stopping. It's going via Babylon, and I'm trying to figure out how they're going to do this. Algonquin train going via Babylon. I don't know. There must be some secret rail links between the main line and Babylon, but they're going to be bypassing Mineola, Hicksville, and Bethpage. And they're not stopping at Babylon. I don't get it. But anyway, because I got to take the train in. That's the first thing. Second thing, New York Marathon on Sunday. And lastly, clocks turn back Saturday night.
Wow. Yeah. Margaret, you're on top of things.
It's a public service announcement.
For the entire rest of the country, the clocks change except for those of us here in Arizona.
Now, are you in Arizona, really?
Yes.
Wow.
Yeah. Margaret has already done more than the PR department of the Rangers will ever do. You'll never see that announcement anywhere about Sunday. So, Margaret, you are on top of things as always.
Listen, my inside source at the Garden says everything is okay, no problems. Everybody's ready to go. So I was a little concerned because I know the guys on the ice crew. I don't want those guys breathing asbestos, you know, so... Seems everything is okay.
Now, I think since Ranger, I am encouraging everyone going to the game Sunday night to wear a surgical mask.
I think that would be awesome.
Just for fun. I want you to all wear surgical masks to the game, and then on the front of the mask, I want you to write, Blue Shirt Banner Radio told me to do this, or just write Blue Shirt Banner Radio, or just write Eddie's name,
or write my mouth.
That's what I want. I am encouraging all 18,200 of you to wear surgical masks to the game on Sunday night and write Blue Shirt Banner Radio on the front of that mask.
I want to see it done, and then
I want to see pictures of it on Facebook.
I just have one question. If
sure.
they were to change venues and move the Ranger game to another arena like Izod or out to the mausoleum, how would you know where to sit?
I was thinking that myself. Like, how would they do it? Would they just open the gates and everything's GA? I don't know.
Wow.
I don't know how they do that.
I was seriously thinking that. I mean, what are they? You know, I go to the mausoleum because my friend gets free Islander tickets, so I go and root for the other team. Well, but I go and I quietly root for the other team because some people sitting in the rest of the company seats turned me in for cheering Ottawa one time. So I just have to sit there politely on my hands, and every time the Islanders get scored against, I go, yes. Which, by the way, they lost tonight, I think, 6-2.
Whoa. Yeah, I saw they were losing 5-1, I saw. I was actually just looking to see if there was a Brodeur update, but I don't see one yet.
Yeah.
But anyway.
So anyway, I was wondering what they would do in that situation. I mean, do you take the seat number closest to you, one at the Garden? What do you do?
Oh, that would just be a nightmare. I think they just have to open the gates and you grab the first available.
And you just beat down the island fans that are there.
Yeah, exactly.
Just walk over them as you go in the building. You listen, guys, take care.
Thanks, Margaret.
Take care, Mom.
You too. Thanks for calling in.
Bye-bye.
The great Margaret Hurley with a very important public service announcement. See, that's just part of the service we provide.
Exactly. You're never going to meet somebody, and she really does care about the Rangers. And, again, like I said, you won't hear Sam Rosen or John Monotone say anything about that about Sunday. I just have a quick message. Jeff Diamond, courtesy ML, is going to try to go to this Legends Classic up in Toronto, where Chris Nyland's going to be, a couple ex-Rangers. We went over it last week. And he's going to try to get some video of this. And he wanted me to say that he's going to say something about Ranger Crisis. And I hope he says something about Blue Shirt Banner, because he said, after all, this is the inspiration to why he's doing this. It's us. Is Ranger Crisis and Blue Shirt Banner. So I think that's kind of nice. And, you got to hang in there. I mean, it takes a while to get a lot of viewers going on a YouTube channel. And, speaking of which, I haven't had a computer for now like a week or so. And it's killing me as far as the videos go. And I'll get them up. I got some bits I'm going to do. Ricky O's just messaged me and says, I am more forgotten than Bugard on here.
Oh, come on now. I was trying to save him for last. Really quick there, I am looking at the In Lieu We Trust game thread, and they've been looking at Brodeur's wrist. I guess he skated off to get looked at, came back on the ice, said he was good to go, came back on the ice, and then went back to the bench. At least that's what I'm reading. So without further ado, here he is. He's been holding for about 4 hours now. Ricky, welcome to the program. Thank you for holding. I was trying to blow through the phone call so that I didn't have to rush you. Here you are. Thank you for holding. We love you. The picture you sent me of the poster for Blue Shirt Banner Watch Party is fantastic. And like I said in my response to you, you are one magnificent bastard.
How you doing, guys?
Good. How are you?
Good. Marty has a ruptured fin. And he's out 3 to 4 years until they can get him back in the ocean.
A ruptured fin. He has a broken fat flap.
He has a lacerated blowhole.
His blowhole has been penetrated. All right, where do we start? First of all, I never thought that I would be the one going at mouth over Bugard, and I have the opposite take. I'm proud of John Tortorella for benching him the other night against Chicago, and I don't want to hear that there wasn't an enforcer or there wasn't a fighter on the team, because John Scott, the guy who I said on this show last year the New York Rangers should have signed, who plays defenseman, plays forward, 6'8", 285 pounds, and would put Derek Bugard on his ass in a fight, because John Scott is the most underrated fighter in the NHL, and maybe him and McIntyre are the two toughest guys in the league. So Tortorella took our enforcer of $1.62 million a year and benched him in his own arena while an enforcer from the other team played. So Tortorella sent the message the other night, and if anybody reads what I wrote on HF boards, I wrote a pretty lengthy column about, I think Bugard has failed to enforce since he's a New York Ranger. He had an opportunity in Ottawa. Chris Neal is out running guys around. And what did Bugard do? He took the stupid, lazy way out and speared Chris Neal. It's a preseason game. Take the 2-5-10 package, sit out for 17 minutes, pound the guy and teach him a lesson. Instead, he stuck a stick in his groin and he got tossed. and he put the Rangers with a very young, vulnerable lineup that night. He put them out on their own that night in case Carter or Neil wanted to do anything. He basically, you know, he took a night off in the first period. Then it came to the Garden, and I know Colton Orr was knocked out a couple nights before, and, you know, maybe he didn't push the issue. But you know what? When Colton Orr was healthy and Colton Orr came into Toronto and Bouguard had a bad finger, we all saw Orr try to goat Bouguard into a fight. Bouguard has not played the role of enforcer. And Tortorella, for the first time, I'm going to compliment you. I'm proud of you. You sent the message. And you know what? I wouldn't play him in Philly either.
Did we lose the audio? Everybody in the chat room said the show just died. Geez, we were doing so well.
Went off on a good rant.
Ricky O crashed the show. The chat room's working. You guys can both hear me, correct? Can you guys
hear
me?
I'm here. See? Jesus Christ, I gave Tortorella a compliment and the world fucking ended.
As far as I can tell, it says we're still on the air. I can hear you. You can hear me. I don't know what's going on. Maybe I just hiccup. What can I tell you? Refresh the page.
And there's been throwing shit comments out again.
We made an hour and 57 minutes without a problem. I don't know what the problem is tonight. But anyway.
You're right. I think you're right. I read that. I got a chance to read what you wrote. And I really did agree with what you said, especially when Biron and Thornburg
skated over. Bouguard skated up to him in front of the bench, in front of Atlanta, in front of the Atlanta bench, and he stared and talked to him. I don't want to see the Sandy McCarthy stare anymore. You're getting
right.
$1.62 million. Drop the gloves, man.
I agree. I totally agree. So
on the island, the preseason, you guys were there. I wasn't there. I only watched the MSG feed. Konopka sitting at center ice talking mad shit to Avery and Dubinsky. Where was Bouguard to come in and just throw this guy, not hit him, not start a fight, skate up and say, you got a problem? Here I am. It wasn't there. In the preseason, I reported he was already uncomfortable in New York and he wasn't happy with Tortorella. I don't want a sulking oaf on this team. Not for what they're paying him. Not when we could have got John Scott for $500,000 like Chicago did, or McIntyre for $550,000, and could have went out and signed a left-handed shooting defenseman with the extra $1.5 million that was left over, and we'd be solid right now. Because this team, without Drury and Prosper, is a playoff team, and I'm proud of that.
Right. I agree with you. I think it might be a little bit too early to, throw him under the bus as far as, he's a sulker or whatever. But you have a great point with, you know, you're here for actions, not words. You need to, earn your keep, not just by fighting the other team's, you know, designated fighter, but to stick up for teammates and anytime it presents itself. He's got to present it. This is what he's here for. So it's something that has to be done. So I agree with you. I think what you wrote was fantastic. I thought it was spot on.
Bear with me, guys. I'm talking to Blog Talk Radio support again.
Okay. Well, Ricky, why don't you tell us about – now, I wrote a press release that had a little bit of problems with in the beginning – about this whole thing, that maybe some things I didn't clarify, but I think this is going to be a great night for people to come out. And maybe I'm thinking about it. Let's switch quickly to the Ranger fan club and what we're going to do with that, because I don't know if you guys know, but the Ranger fan club is not disbanding, but they're suspending operations because there's basically nobody there on the board to run it, and I feel like they've I haven't got an official explanation. It sounds like they're undermanned and there's just not enough interest. Plus, they've lost the building that they were holding their meetings in. So, we were thinking about maybe perhaps getting involved with this. What do you think, Rick? You think this is something?
I went on Facebook yesterday at this time, 10 o'clock last night. I read what happened. I was disgusted by it. I kind of jokingly and kind of seriously went in and started a Facebook page called The New New York Ranger Fan Club. And Malf, I don't know if you've taken a look at the page, but it's absolutely exploded. We're up to 113 members already. We're at 113, and all we did was put the page up. I only sent invites out to people like you, Ava, Jimmy. These are guys that are just part of this show that we sent it out to. I can't imagine when we open this up to a bigger form. We're going to have 500 people on this page by the end of the week. And what I really what I want to do is, I'm sick of being burned by the Rangers. You know, John.
Good night,
Osco,
everybody.
Good night, guys.
Sorry.
Glenn Sather, guys like this have really stuck it to us, stuck it to me personally the last couple of years. But I think the Ranger fans are the most passionate fans in all of New York. More than the Yankees, more than the Giants, I think our core 50,000 fans in this tri-state area, or maybe a little bit more, are very passionate. And I think we can take this to the next level, with or without their blessing. Mouth, you and I had a talk about it this afternoon. Jimmy, hopefully we could talk on the 26th and really get this off. But there's no reason we can't put together a road trip. There's no reason we can't put together meetings or anything like that, and really organize this to a point of being successful.
Well, you know, we've got this night, this viewing party coming up at the end of the month. How can we, what can we do to help there? Can we get somebody from the one of the higher ups from the fan club to maybe come down there and
Malty, I had the same thought this afternoon. Malty was going to actually look into seeing who he can contact.
Yeah, I got a letter in the mail today, and it's not signed by anybody. It's like, you know, so I think we have, first of all, I have to go on their Facebook page and say, who's in charge here? Is there anybody I could speak to? Because we certainly have, just through our little network, the makings of what really is the New York Ranger fan club. I mean, you know, and I think... I think this would be a perfect opportunity for us to really get it together and save this thing that was made by, you know, Frank Boucher was the creator of this fan club. It's got history, and it's also got a little bit of power, because it would be very bad publicity for these guys for the Rangers not to make players available, interviews available, or just anything, if an organization that's been around 60 years, and the fact that it's bad publicity that this thing is closing in the first place, or ceasing operations. I mean, you know, we have a lot of people that would, you know, donate their time. We all donate our time, you know, just doing this show and Ricky's not making $1 million to, you know, doing these things. He does it because he loves sports. He loves, you know, the Rangers and stuff. So, I mean, you know, I think it's an opportunity for either us to combine or just, you know, listen, take it over. Because it seems like, to me, there seems to be nobody who really wants to deal with this.
Yeah, I mean, let's get involved. I mean, I reached out to the Ranger fan club when right around, not the last time Emil was on. I think it was the time before that, because we talked to him about the Ranger fan club, and he was talking about how great they were. And I thought it was the perfect time to reach out to them and see if, you know, we could maybe develop some kind of relationship with them and some kind of friendship. And nobody got back to me. I emailed like four different people, and nobody got back to me.
I just think it's probably like a de facto, you know, person who's just writing the emails. There's not any leaders there. If you look at their website, they have no president. They have no... And Emil would be a great guy to get up here maybe just for a day. And, you know, he could reach out to a lot of ex-players to help and get this thing going again. And you know.
Honestly, Eddie, I think we reach out to more ex-players than Emil does.
But, you know, if Emil Francis calls Pete Stemkowski, Pete's going to do it for free. You know what I'm saying?
That's true.
You know,
yeah.
You know
yeah.
what I'm saying? If he reaches out to Gilles Villemieux and says, listen, the Ranger fan club, these guys have memories of the fan club, and even the players in the 80s, too. I think in the 90s and the 2000s, I think that they've gone upon hard times. Because, you know, ever since the Sather, I can guarantee since the Sather regime is in, they basically snubbed them and probably don't make anything accessible to them. People, and to get the word out. And I think it's important because all these teams have fan clubs. They have an annual fan club meeting out in California, all the fan clubs. It's an embarrassment. And it's just like what me and Ricky were talking about today on the phone. this, according to the Rangers, this, their team started in 1994. And there's just so much tradition that's got to be, this is an abomination, I think, for an original 16 to lose their fan club because, you know, listen, we have a hard enough time dealing with these mooks over at the PR guys and getting, you know, and they've lost touch with the fan. They don't care about the fan. They care about the almighty dollar. That's their bottom line. They worship green. That's all they care. I don't care if it's that some kind of, you know, they are corporate criminals for the, as far as I'm concerned. You know, I mean, I know it's capitalism and all, but they have to understand. And I guarantee their ticket sales are down. They are pushing these tickets way too much and too often.
Yeah, I think you're right. I think you're absolutely right.
They always made it seem like it was a privilege to get tickets. Now that they're begging now. I mean, it's just too many tickets. And the people that go to the games are now selling their tickets off, and the people are not buying the tickets like, oh, I want to go to the game. It's just too expensive. It's just too expensive. And like Rick was telling me about the Mets, that the Sandy, what's his face? He cut the prices in the tickets. Alderson.
Yeah, 14% they cut tickets.
And he's also doing 35 games with $12 or less tickets. That's half the home schedule almost.
I just want to interrupt one second here. The Blog Talk is telling me we are very sorry for the issues lately. We are experiencing massive growth and are working on handling that growth. I can understand that, but you know, well, that's what I've asked for, and my wife just said, so ask for a free month, and I said, well, I already did, and his last reply was, I will verify a refund for you, please hold. Now, do you remember last week, Eddie, I was putting the messages from the support in the chat room, and the girl's name was Christy Sweet?
Yes.
Well, now I'm talking to John Sweet.
Oh,
it's like a mom and pop organization.
So they're
really
basically
lighting
the
I'm just waiting for Matthew Sweet.
Hey guys, real quick, Devils are announcing Brodeur has left the game with a bruised right elbow, possible bone bruise, and X-rays were negative. He's not likely to return the rest of the night.
That's a shame.
So we'll talk about this more. We'll get a conference call going between us three and maybe some other people.
Yeah,
we'll see if I can get a hold of who's running the show over there.
Eddie, real quick, one thing I wanted to bring up. I heard you talking before about Janander. From what I'm hearing from people that are insiders in the front office over there and people have dealings with the Baldwin ownership group, the team's in chaos already. He's talking, putting the cart before the horse on a couple occasions. He just got them booked into an outdoor game. He has a Hartford Whaler alumni team coming in to play a Boston Bruin alumni team. Nobody from the alumni of Hartford has been contacted about a payday. He's asked people to volunteer their services on events where he's made $10,000 to $20,000 on these guys. Hasn't even offered to pick up their hotel rooms. He's basically, if anybody's ever read the book about the history of the WHA, he's a little bit of a con man. And I don't know if it's a good idea the Rangers got in bed with this guy. He's a little bit of a carny mark. And from what I'm hearing, things in the front office already are starting to get a little zany.
I'm sorry. This is the guy that just bought the Wolf Pack?
Yes.
Oh, jeez.
James Spano, here we go.
Yeah. Bruce McNair. Was it McNair or McNall? Who's the guy
McNall.
That owned the King? McNall.
Yeah,
McNall,
the Gretzky card. You remember that? He bought the Harness Wagner card with Gretzky.
Yeah. Well, fun. Ricky, whatever you think we can do, we'll do it. You know, let's see if we can get people to come to the party, and we'll talk to them. We got a lot of people coming to this thing, and you know, plus all the people on the Facebook page that are responding to it. You know, the fan club shouldn't have to die. I mean, it really should. It's been around for 60 years.
I think what happened, Eddie and Jimmy, I think this thing just became a 19th century fan club. I think the people who were still left in it were really kind of on the older side. I don't think they really were computer savvy and literate. I think, Jimmy, between your you know, your website. It's kind of like a place for us to seek these people out. Mouth, with the great little website and the little video clips you put together, with this radio show, we have a place in Manhattan that we can host it. We have a place in New Jersey we can host meetings. I think we could take this to the 21st century and kick some ass with this, guys. So let's do it.
Yeah,
I'm down.
I'm down. And so is Block Talk.
Well, on a good note, I'm not getting billed. They did give me a credit, so.
Oh, do I have a minute? All right. Guys, listen, my phone's going to die, so I got to say goodnight before I hang up on you. Anytime you want to call me this week, we can talk about it. And everybody out there, see you on the 26th.
All right, sounds
Take
good.
Care. Good night, everybody.
All right, good night, everybody. We'll see you guys next week. I wanted you to come out. Hold on.